spirit rain, falling like a flood, break upon my praise as I sing of your love. Holy Spirit, fire, burn within my soul as I call.
Last year I came and felt a God connection, and I was honored when Pastor asked us back. I love your pastors and their family. They got a heart for the Father and a heart for you. And God, man, I could have just kept going with the presence of the Lord here. Like, don't stop, keep going. It was great. It was wonderful. So we just are glad to be here. I have to say this before I get into what God wants to speak today. I believe God's going to do some great things today. Last year, because our cars, we had trouble with our cars breaking down. How many's ever had a car trouble, you know? And for a whole year, 2016, my mom kept saying almost every week to me, Randy, I'm praying for someone to buy you a brand new car with no payments. Thank you, Mom. Every week she would say that. For all last year, this is for a mother here. And thank you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Well, in January of this year, I get a call. And says, hey, meet me at the dealership, the Hyundai dealership. Okay, I can't afford a car payment, you know. Get there, and guess what? They bought a brand new car, handed me the keys. I got to pick it out, and says, no payments. They wrote a check and say, here, paid for the car. And then I call my mom and said, Mama, thank you. So I want to say this. If you're praying for something for your kids, don't stop praying. A whole year she didn't quit. And you know how me, like, yeah, Mom, thank you, sure, you know, someone's gonna buy me a brand new car. She had the faith for me, and I'm glad, because I'm driving a brand new car with no car payments, because my mama said, I'm not gonna stop praying until you get it. So mothers, grandmothers, fathers, don't stop praying until it happens. Start declaring it every week. So again, that's for somebody. The Lord asked me to share that. So I want to share a part of my heart and then see what God does. That was a good moment for me. Man, when I walked out of there and I got the keys, I drove it here today. I got a brand new car. Like, how many's ever had those good moments of life? How many's ever had those God moments in life? Amen. And sometimes we have bad moments in life. That's a part of life. But today we're going to learn how to turn even the bad moments in our life into God moments and to move where God wants us to move. And we're going to see some meaning of what it means in life. Some things we don't understand. I know when I had my back surgery years ago, man, I prayed for people. I've seen blind eyes open, cancers healed, people walk out of wheelchairs. And then I had a ruptured disc in my back, several problems with my back, and I couldn't get healing. I mean, I prayed. I would preach, Pastor, and I would sit down just in pain. I was just in pain all the time. God, I know you can heal me. How come you're... And it went so long, I couldn't stand it no more. And finally, I said, okay, I'm going to the doctor. I got to have something done. And I had back surgery, and it challenged my faith. Hey, God, I see miracles. How can I stand up to people and say, have faith when I had to go into, you know, God guides a physician's hand. How many know that? God still heals anyway. I didn't understand it, but it gave me empathy. I didn't come back, you just don't have enough faith. No, I know there are situations in life we have to understand. But while I was in the hospital room having that back surgery, there was another person in the room with me. And I met the gentleman, and I led him to Jesus Christ. And I thought, you know, had I not went through this, I would have never been there to lead that man to Jesus. And his soul was worth any embarrassment I could have or worth any pain I could go through. And while I was on my back, God began to speak to my heart. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes we don't slow down and let God speak to us. We're always going. So God's, Randy, I'm going to slow you down and speak to you. I don't have no back problem anymore since that, and I gave God the glory for that miracle. But it let me know sometimes it's not my understanding, because there are moments in life that's not about me. It's about somebody else, and it's about eternity. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. And you think, how can all things work for my good? In those bad moments, yes, all things. In painful moments, in difficult moments, in hard times. You mean all things work for my good? Yes. There are bad moments in life. And sometimes those bad moments come because of the adversary. How many know we got an adversary? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah. The devil's a roaring lion seeking to be made devour. So he is going to come against us. And sometimes we have persecution, adversity, opposition, and bad moments because the devil's out to destroy you and your family and your ministry. And then there are those moments in life that we suffer, the innocent suffer, because of the selfishness or self-centeredness or sin of other people. Some of you in this room have suffered because somebody else's sin and selfishness. And then there are those moments of life that we suffer because we made a bad choice. How many's ever made a bad choice? Thank you for your honesty. Amen. We've all made bad choices, and we suffer because we made a bad choice. But there are also other times in life, I want you to hear this, that God allows some moments of our life because He's trying to position us for blessing. In Deuteronomy 32, He spoke about Israel, God did, and said, even as an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young and carries its young on its wings, so have I covered you. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that eagle, that mother eagle, loves her babies. And those babies are so comfortable in that nest. It's like, hey, it's comfortable nest. Mama shields us. Mama feeds us. Feed me, mama, feed me. I don't have to do nothing. That's wonderful. But then all of a sudden that mother eagle says, these babies got to position and fly. They got to get out of the nest. I ain't leaving the nest, mama. I'll stay right here. And mama begins to pluck all the feathers out of the nest. And all of a sudden that nest is not as comfortable no more. It's thorns. It's rough. The wind blows through it. All of a sudden mama quits feeding the babies. And pretty soon those babies get out of the nest and mom shoves them off and lets them learn how to fly. See, they would never learn how to fly if they just sat in their comfort zone. And maybe you're here today and God's saying, hey, I'm just trying to stir up the nest. I've had it in my life. I was comfortable. I wouldn't have moved. But God says, I'm going to kind of stir up the nest a little bit. Just like Elijah when he was by the brook Cherith. Hey, man, he had it made, didn't he? The water's there. All of a sudden, he's waiting there. And God had the ravens to feed him. I get to see a raven come down and getting a barbecue steak off a barbecue and taking it to Elijah. Here you go. Elijah's just chilling back, man, in his easy boy chair. All of a sudden, where's the ravens, God? They're not coming no more. The water's drying up. Because God said, it's time for you to move and position for greatness because I got a woman that needs to be blessed. And I need you to move. So sometimes in our life, we have to understand it is God stirring our lives up, listen, to make moments into movement in our life. We're going to learn four principles to turn a moment into a movement of life. And we're going to look at the story of Joseph. Some of you have read that story. It's beautiful. I know pastors in the Nehemiah right now. That's another great story right there about building. But Joseph was one that really stirred my heart. And I tried to follow some of the principles that his life did. Great young man. He was probably handsome like your pastor, you know, all that stuff. He was loved by his father. And his father gave him a beautiful coat of many colors. And his other brothers were so excited about it, weren't they? No. They were jealous, right? They were upset over it. And guess what happened? They got jealous so much that they took Joseph and they threw him in a pit, and his brothers wound up selling him as a slave to a foreign land. So Joseph winds up as the father's favorite, winds up as a slave, a common slave in a foreign country, and he winds up in Potiphar's house in Egypt, and Potiphar was an officer in Pharaoh's command, and here he is as a slave. And guess what Joseph did? He was a model slave. He did the best he could do. He didn't cry about it, didn't weep about it, but as he was doing the best he could do, he began to move up. All of a sudden, this common slave was second in command under Potiphar. He commanded all the stuff, and everything was going great until a moment came when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him to sleep with her, to commit adultery. And he said, I'm not going to sin against God. I'm not going to sin against my master. And he ran from the temptation. And then she falsely accused him and said, he tried to rape me. Maybe you're here and you've been falsely accused. That was a moment in Joseph's life. And guess what happened? He got thrown in prison. Here he is, not just a slave, but now he's in prison. Now he's a convict. And as a convict in prison for false accusation, guess what happened? He began to be the best he could be in that. He walked in the favor of God, and God gave him favor, and he began to move up in that jail to just being over everything in the jail. He just kept moving up and even got betrayed by a butler, and it kept moving up until eventually Joseph became second in command under Pharaoh for the whole Egypt nation, for the whole nation. How in the world did that? What a roller coaster. But listen to me. Had those moments in Joseph's life way back, he would have never left his family.
Amen.
He would have never been in a foreign country in a position, because if he would have stayed there, he would have never been second in command. Those moments, even though painful, even though seeming like humbling, those moments turned into movement for him, for God to use him to preserve lives. And this is what I want to say to you today, that God is wanting some of you to know that whatever it is in your life that's happening. Now let's go to the story of Genesis chapter 45. We're going to take this story up. And he moved up second in command. There was a great famine in the land. And Joseph's brothers come before him. Now can you imagine that? Ha! I'll get you now. I know what you did. I know what you did. I'm going to let everybody know. No. Listen to me. You know what Joseph did before we read this one verse? He said, everybody, clear the room. I'm going to address and reveal myself to my brothers. And I want to see forgiveness take place. But I don't want anybody to. You know what? If you forgive somebody, then you don't keep publicizing it. You keep it private, not public. That's why I know Joseph forgave his brothers, because he made everybody leave that he could reveal himself to his brothers. And his brothers, he could have said, hey, everybody, I want you to hear what my brothers did, man. They sold me into slavery. Now they're going to get what they deserve. And he could have had them beaten and thrown in prison or dead or killed, and he would have been justified. Mm-hmm. But that's not what he wanted, because he had forgiven them years ago, because it was a moment that was turned into a movement. And he preserved their life. Look at Genesis 45, verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Can you imagine that? Hey, man, don't worry about it. I know you did me wrong. It's okay. It's all right, brother. It's all right, sister. I know you did me. Don't even worry about it. I'm not going to be vengeful. Don't even worry about it. This is what he's saying. Because you sold me here for God. In terms of some translation, said, but God sent me here before you to preserve life. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was when you sent me here, it was not you who sent me here, but God. Turn your moments into movement. Some of you right here have really experienced bad moments even this past week. God, I don't understand this moment. Do what Joseph did and say, wait a minute. This moment is going to bring movement in my life, for my family, to preserve posterity. It's going to position me for blessing, and that's what God wants. Let's look at four key principles. I'm only giving you four today, so buckle up and stay with it. Amen. Number one, you have to see the moment as a movement. See the moment as a movement. Joseph saw it not just as a moment of pain, of rejection, of jealousy of his brothers, of humiliating as a slave, but he saw it as God. Did he say that? You didn't do this. God sent me before you. And he was seeing this as a movement so that he would not. Listen, can I just say this? Take the period out. You may have hurt me. You may have rejected me. You may have done this. Don't leave a period there. Take it out. Put a comma. But God. You may have falsely accused me, and I may be hurt by it, but God is. It's a movement in our life if we will see the bad moment as a movement. If you will practice that in your life, all of a sudden you'll understand. It doesn't matter what people do. It doesn't matter what you go through in life, because God will work all things for your good. How many want to see God turn those bad moments into a blessing? Again, in a hospital room, a man got saved. Yeah, I may be in this, but God used me to save somebody. And I mean, that soul is worth all the pain I can go through. One soul for eternity is worth it all. See, their wrong motives, they're unjust. Whoever's done you wrong, whoever's rejected you. Some of you here have been hurt by rejection. But no matter what they've done, they won't hinder God's blessing in your life if you look at moments as a movement for God to do what He wants to do. In ministry, you'll have highs and lows, and same with life. Man, I've been a pastor, and sometimes it hurts. You pastors know what I'm talking about. I mean, I've been through 3 major church splits when I pastored just in Colusa, and people I poured into and I love, and they left me, and it hurts. It's painful. You left me and rejected, but God is using it to position me for blessing, for posterity, for exact. Oh, God, thank you for your destiny. How do you see your movement? How do you see your moments? Do you see the moments as personal growth development in your life? Do you see those moments as a time to where you can preserve somebody's life, that you can impact a nation or a people? Do you see that moment of your life as a testimony? I've got great testimonies because I have bad moments in life. I know what you've gone through, brother. I've been there. I know what that's like, having this happen, that. I know what, how many's ever done that? I know what that's, I've been through that valley with you, but it didn't stop there, because even though I walked through the valley shadow of death, it's a comma, I fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. How do you see your moments? As those God movements, or do we see those moments as unfair, unjust, it's not right, bitterness, pity, anger, depression? When we can begin to see our moments of life as movement for God and His kingdom. Isn't that what it's about, the kingdom? Is life too short anyway? It's all about the kingdom. Let me tell you, when we begin to see that in our life, we look at it differently. We don't see our moments of life the same way. Joseph saw it different. You did this, I wound up a slave. You did this, I wound up a convict. You did this, and I wound up betrayed while I was a prisoner. But no matter what your motives were, God was setting me up for a position of blessing and posterity. Amen. Somebody here is getting set up for a blessing, but you're going to have to look at your moments different. You're going to have to look at your moments different. The second point I want to bring out today, be at our best in the moment to welcome the movement. We have to, boy, this is hard. You got to be at your best in the moment, bad or good, be at your best in that moment to start the movement of what God wants. Because if you're bitter and you're angry and you're resentful and of unforgiveness, you'll be stuck in the moment. You won't move where God wants you to move. And I'm trying to tell you today that Joseph, I know that he changed that moment, and it was the best because he was a model slave. Hey, it was unfair he was a slave, right? His brother sold him. He didn't deserve that. He didn't sit as a slave and gripe and complain, and I ain't gonna. He was a model slave, man. He went above and beyond. And the Bible says that Joseph was in God's favor and he got man's favor. That's why no matter where he was at, Joseph kept moving up, because he was a model slave. How about you in your moment? Are you still a model person in that moment? Do you still go above? Oh, I ain't gonna do that. My boss treated me bad. Why should I go above and beyond for that old employer? I don't have to do. That's the reason why I've never been afraid of taking a low position, because I've always been promoted. Not because of me. I've told employers this at interviews, you're going to be glad you hired me. Not because I'm special, but because God in me. And that's the truth. And I've always got promoted, and I've told employers that. In fact, I remember I've got 20 years in retail, and I work with people with disabilities. I've never been afraid of promotion, because God gives the promotion. Amen. And if you'll honor God by giving it your best, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. If you'll be a, but Ray, you don't understand the moment I've been in. It don't matter. But they're false accusers. It don't matter. If you just be the best you can be for God, then God can promote you and get you where you need to be, in spite of the circumstance. Maybe you feel like a slave to circumstance beyond your control, or being unjustly, unfair treated. It doesn't matter. Be the best you can be, and God can position you and move you where you need to be. Amen. How about Joseph? Was he a model slave? Yes, he was. Was he a model convict? Can you imagine? It's humiliating enough to be a slave, but now you're a slave and a convict. Falsely accused, but you don't hear him griping in the prison. You hear him going the extra mile. He was the best convict he could be. When they would ask him to do one thing, he would go a little extra. Doesn't the Bible, Jesus say, if they ask you to go a mile, go 2 miles. Go above and beyond. Well, I ain't got no right. I shouldn't be here anyway. They had no right to accuse me. False accusation. Why did God let me get in this prison anyway? Come on, you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's easy to get stuck in that moment. Yeah. But Joseph said, no. They meant it for evil, comma, but God meant it for good. And in that prison, he began to move out because, you see, he had proper perspective. And if we don't have proper perspective on our moments, we'll get stuck in them.
Yeah.
Ever been stuck in a bad moment in your life? Without proper forgiveness, listen to me, you'll be stuck in the offense. Most of our offense, the pain is over right away, but we self-inflict that same pain because we rewind it and relive it over and over for year after year. Rather than forgiving them. How many true forgiveness is you don't rewind the offense? You don't replay your emotions. You don't look at the moment and the blame game and the pity game. But no, I'm God's. So I don't care if I'm down now, I'm getting up. Listen, my wife and I are cancer survivors, but we are thriving on health. You can tell I'm healthy. Hallelujah. Amen. We are thriving in health because God's blessing. And I've never saw whatever I faced in life, and I've had loss and crisis and went through all kinds of rejection. But you know, I've always looked at it, God, you're doing something in me to work through me for not just me and my family, but for somebody else. How about you in that moment? Does your words express forgiveness? Does your social media and Facebook express forgiveness? Is it a public, everybody, I want you to hear what they did to me? Or do you keep it quiet? Maybe just go to that person, but not let everybody know about it. If you are letting everybody know, you will self-inflict your pain over and over and over and over. How many's ever had somebody, well, I forgave you, but remember what you did? How could I forget? You keep bringing it up every day. If you forgave them, stop bringing it up. Let it go that God can heal you and position you for a blessing that he wants to bring in your life. Do you see your moments as God's movement? Do you see your moment that you are going to be the best you could be, regardless of what it is, no matter how humiliating it may seem? I'm still going to be a model slave, a model convict. I'm going to be the best I can be in this bad situation. But I know what it's like. I mean, I was driving my old white car, and my wife got an accident, and the two doors were all messed up. Drove that thing since 2000. I like being debt-free, except for my mortgage. I get my mortgage. But we have to drive that car. And, of course, one side looked great. So when I go to the church, I'd want to pull this way so they just see this side. You know, oh, don't go to that side. It's all messed up. Yeah, look at this side. Isn't it nice? You know, I didn't want to put money into it, but I didn't want to go in debt. So, okay, God, I'm going to swallow my pride and let you do what you want to do. Because if I would have gotten in a hurry, listen to me, I would have had a car payment. But I was patient and said, God, I'll swallow my pride and let you do what you want to do. And then I get handed the keys to a brand new car with no payments. Thank God I saw movement in what my moments were in life. Number three. Well, you guys are good. Give me a couple more minutes. Amen. Hold on. Number three. Hold on to what God assigned and let go of what we allowed. There are things that God assigned to you. There are people that God ordained in your life. And Joseph had to be willing to let go of those that God had not ordained in his life and hold on to those that God did ordain and let go of things that God did not assign to you bitterness. God did not assign to us, resentfulness. He did not resent. So we don't have to hold on to it. We need to let it go. And there are times in our life that we're trying to hold on to wrong things. God says, I want to move you here to bless you, but you keep holding on to the wrong things. How many of there are certain people in partnership, in relationship in our life that God ordained? And I say this, what God ordained, what God joined together, let no man separate.
Amen.
No man. Amen. But what if there are people that we just allowed in our life that God never said to be joined with? Yes. Wrong partnerships. And how many know good or bad company can corrupt good people? So maybe there are partnerships that we say, you know what, God, I'm just going to let it go. I'm just going to let go, Father, of anything you're done or didn't. Because I had to learn to pastor. Boy, it hurts. You pour your life into somebody and then they leave the church. And I had to realize, wait a minute, God, it's not my property anyway. You're the sheep of your pasture. I'm just caring for your prop. How many know that? How many's ever had people leave your life and you got hurt over it? And wait a minute, God, you just put them in my life. So if you join, God, it's okay. But if I'm trying to hold on to what you don't want me to be, hold on to, I want to let it go. Joseph held on to the promise and the dream. Remember the dream he had? I'm going to elevate you. Boy, it didn't seem like it did. He was a slave and a convict. But he held on to the dream of being where God wanted him to be. Do you still have a hold of the dream? For your family, for your church, for your ministry, for your healing. Have you let it go in the moment? It's time to pick it back up and say, listen, God, I'm holding on to the dream again. I'm holding on to the blessing and the destiny. I'm letting go of bitterness, anger, resentfulness, and I'm holding on to that which you did. And God will do something in our life if we'll learn not to play the blame game, if we'll learn to hold on to the good and let the bad go. So in closing, I want to bring out this fourth point. Again, see the moment as a movement. Be at your best in the moment so you can start the movement happening. Hold on to what God has signed in your life and let go of what we just allowed. And number four, the last point, accomplish what God wants in the moment to start the movement. Accomplish what God wants. Stop. Look at everything. What does God want you to do in that moment? In a hospital room? In a loss of a job? In a crisis situation? What does God want you to do? And Joseph accomplished everything God wanted to do for every stage that he went through to get where he needed to be. And it was a God movement the whole time. I remember, you know, and sometimes it's within us that God wants to do things. I remember I worked at a Holiday Market as a meat cutter. And I had to make, how many's ever had those jobs you had to make yourself go? The meat manager and the assistant meat manager were at each other's throats and he would take it out on me. I would get cussed out. I would get chewed out. I would get unfairly, and God, get me out of here. God says, no, there's something I want you to do. But God, they're treating me bad. It's unfair. All right, God, what do you want? I want you to be a witness to that meat manager. Come to find out he was a backslidden Pentecostal preacher's kid. That was bitter and angry at God. And so he was taken down on me because of conviction. and I'm bold at my job. I have people getting saved all the time. I'm bold about it. And that conviction was there. So they weren't really fighting me. They were fighting the conviction of the Lord coming, of the Holy Spirit coming upon their life. You know what I'm saying? But until I accomplished what God wanted, God was not going to get me out of that Holiday Market. But when I accomplished it, and that's just one example. When I accomplished what God wanted, then he moved me out. When he accomplished me driving that car with two wrecked doors to swallow my pride, when I swallowed my pride, he did the work within me, then he can move out and say, Randy, here's your new car, because you won't be prideful about it. So accomplish what God wants. And I say this in summarizing it. Paul and Silas, falsely for preaching the gospel, were beaten hard in stripes. Acts 16, they were in stocks and bonds, right? They were there in pain. But the Bible says at the midnight hour, Acts 16, they didn't gripe, they didn't complain, they didn't say, where are you, God? It's unjust. They saw that moment as a God moment. And we know the story. What happened? They begin to sing praise at the midnight hour. You know what happened? The jailhouse doors all swung open. They all swung open, and guess what happened? Revival brought out, prisoners were saved. The jailer came in and says, what must I do to be saved? Wouldn't that be wonderful? They could have left. Paul and Silas could have left, and that guard knew, hey, I got a death threat. If I let them escape, I'm going to die. He was ready to commit suicide. And Paul said, don't do yourself any harm. We're still here. Now, they could have been killed, but we're still here. This is a God moment. And the Philippian jailer, what must they do to be saved? And when he got saved, I'm closing. When he got saved, he said this. After he was saved, his family was saved, and that Philippian jailer became the great support of Paul's ministry. One of the greatest supports. All because they turned a bad moment into a God moment and to start a God movement in their life. Will you stand to your feet? You've been tremendous today. Lord, I just whatever you're wanting to accomplish right now, Lord. I know you spoke to some people here today. And Father, I know you spoke to a mother and a father. God, I know that you spoke, God, right now to a few people that's in a bad moment in their life. But God, you're releasing the presence of your power right now to minister them right now in Jesus' name. You're taking off, Father, the bad things of the past, and you're opening those new doors right now, Father. And God, we thank you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. That, Lord, you are releasing the power of your presence right now, Father, for your daughter. Lord, all those bad moments, and I hear of those bad moments, the whirlwinds of the enemy. But I hear the Lord saying, daughter, I've heard your prayer. Your heart has touched my heart. Don't be moved. Don't be moved. For I have a plan for you, says the Lord. I've heard the cry for you, for your family, for your church, your body. I've heard the cry already. And I hear the Lord say, just be at peace. Because I am moving things that need to be moved. Because I heard your cry the very first time you prayed it. In the name of Jesus. I declare you to be whole, to be well, to be at peace on some situations in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, there are several here today that's really concerned over a family member, God, that Lord, they just need your hand right now. And I release in the name of Jesus, I release them out of the fear and the threats of the enemy. Devil, you can't have them. You can't have them. They belong to God. And we're not going to declare it as a bad moment. We're going to declare it as a God opportunity to prove his miracle power, his delivering power, his salvation power. Lord, and even as a Philippian gentleman declared, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We'll be saved. God, you're going to declare it in the name of Jesus, God. Salvation for the home. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who you are, but there's a parent here that the Lord's saying, stop praying your kids out of all the trouble all the time. I'm trying to get their eyes to be open to salvation and to a need of a Savior. But if you're always bailing them out, they'll never see a need of a Savior.
Oh, wow.
Their soul is more important than their comfort. After they get saved, then let God restore in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God's releasing right now. In the name of Jesus. I don't know who you are here today, but there's been a situation on a job, and you have been unjustly treated on your job. Unfairly, unjustly. But the Lord says, shake it off. You're there as a witness for me. You're not there for your paycheck. You're not there for the promotion. You're not there for you're there for an eternal movement in your life. And if you'll trust me, I will elevate you above those that even have brought things against you on your job. And I will elevate you and bless you above and beyond your own expectation. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. God, we release your power right now to restore. God sees the heart of that one that's here right now. That bitter sting that hurts you. The injustice that was like a dagger, a sword going through your heart. And the Lord says, if you'll forgive them, stop rewinding, stop replaying your emotion, and forgive them, I will heal you and I will restore in you that peace that you need in Jesus' name. I hear the Lord say, because I can pick up the shattered pieces of any life and put it back together. And I can bring life where there's no life, a flower and a rose in the middle of a wilderness. If you'll just change your focus and look at it as a moment of blessing, I'm going to change it into a blessing for your destiny in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Can you just raise your hands right now and just worship the Lord and praise Him for just a little bit? And I know we're out of time, but I just feel like God is just... Come on, worship Him. Let God speak to you today. Let God speak to you today. Let Him heal your body. Let Him heal your soul. Let Him heal your spirit. Let Him heal your heart today. Oh God, the communion that's even in our bodies, God, is going to every cell of our body. It's healing that disease. It's healing our emotions. It's healing our doubts. It's healing our fears. Years, God. It's healing us right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, worship Him today.